This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something that looks like a man. I don't know what it was. Just that it ran across the yard. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. Jesus Christ, you better.
Sure.
See ya.
Hello.
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Oh, and the guy is on foot.
It's a big, real big person, that's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person or somebody really big, but he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Strange Harbor, all things strange.
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, we talk cryptozoology, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal, psychic abilities, all that good stuff. I'm Johnny Manson. She is MUFON investigator Cherie DeSeuss.
Keeping it real with UFOs.
And our guest today is Joshua Johnson, and you happen to be a TV show producer.
Yeah, I produce all kinds of shows, but currently I'm working on a Bigfoot show.
A Bigfoot TV show.
Yeah, we're looking for Bigfoot. I've done a few Bigfoot shows in the past. Mm-hmm. I worked on Finding Bigfoot for about 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good show.
But honestly, it feels like I've been out in the woods looking for Bigfoot more than most people, I think.
Well, you know what you're looking for. You spent 4 years cutting your teeth.
After 4 years, I would hope that there are some mysteries that we've uncovered, but I don't think so.
Do you believe in Sasquatch?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's something out there. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of unexplained stuff that I've seen and heard, and I don't know what to say about it. I'll just say that. I will say that there is still a lot to be explored.
What do you think about Bigfoot's backstory as far as perhaps in science they think that Bigfoot was a kind of a spin-off from Cro-Magnon or
Gigantopithecus.
Yeah. I tend to defer to a lot of what other people have told me. And Gigantopithecus is one of the prevailing theories out there. Mm-hmm. People like Cliff Barachman, who I always listen to, and Jeff Meldrum, they think that the legend of Sasquatch begins with Gigantopithecus coming over the land bridge along with humans and then eventually hiding and never really being around. So we have all of those stories from the Pacific coastal natives who basically lived amongst these creatures for so long and then they hid. So that seems to me like the best origin that we have. But then we also have stories of wild men all over the world. So mm-hmm. there's like the other like Pithecuses, like the other like the other hominids. So the idea that this thing is a relict hominid seems pretty likely across the entire globe. But there's it's tough because there aren't fossils. There's like not a lot of records, and we're constantly just chasing our tails.
And a lot of people say, well, how come we don't have any bones? Then you try to explain to them that hunters don't find black bear bones in the woods. So there's the theory that they bury their dead. So that would be another reason. Do you have any beliefs on why you think we don't have bones?
One of the things that comes up a lot is how intelligent these things would be, especially if it was a relic hominid that evolved alongside humans. What we're talking about then, at that point, is something that would be a lot more human-like than it would be ape-like. Mm-hmm. The idea that it's bipedal, and it would stand upright. You and actually people document tool usage and mm-hmm. things like that. So what I'm thinking is that absolutely they would bury their dead. There's something to the fact that they would be very conscious and very intelligent. I think that that would make it much harder for us to find any remains. If they're even smaller numbers than what people would think, if there's only like a few hundred in the woods, I don't know. But we don't know. I mean, right. like, really, that's where we're at. Right. Nobody knows. Right. And I'm never really going to come out and say that I fully believe in exactly this theory or that theory, because as soon as I do, somebody's going to come along with something else that makes more sense or even has proof.
Right.
So I don't necessarily toe that line where I'm like, I believe strongly about this thing or that thing, because I've heard things mm-hmm. and seen things that are totally unfounded, like not even in science, that would be beyond a flesh and blood creature as well. So that's,
really, are you talking like paranormal stuff?
Yeah, I think that we have to recognize that side of this thing. Mm-hmm. People thinking that these things can become invisible. Now I know that there's physical properties that like can make things invisible. Sure, mm-hmm. but that. That seems pretty paranormal to me. I don't know
right.
exactly.
There are many reports that they can cloak, but it's the type of cloaking like from the movie Predator. You remember the Predator
right.
where you could see it kind of, but then see through it, but still see the outline?
Like a chameleon.
People say these things become invisible like the Predator or something like that.
Right.
Almost as if it's a... some sort of optical illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we investigate things like that, yeah, we come up with there are birds and types of feathers that will camouflage. There are chameleons that change their skin color. There's like cuttlefish that do. So we can point towards known creatures in the wild that mm-hmm. that can do these things, but we also can't really explain something turning completely invisible like on a movie.
Now,
like
Barb that. Shoup, you might be familiar with Barb. I think she's in the Cascade Mountains. She has a video of something cloaked or cloaking. I'm not sure if you've seen the video. We'll post it on strangeharbor.net. Now, they're saying cloaking Bigfoot. I think it's entirely too small and just its movements. It looks more like a squirrel or a gopher size or just it looks a lot smaller, not a young Bigfoot or anything like that. But you see it, but then you can't see it. It looks like that cloaking. It's not a Bigfoot. But
that is exactly the thing that we're looking at, is the Predator-style
right.
Invisibility. And that thing, to me, had me scratch my... Yeah, I was wondering if that's possibly like computer-generated. I have no idea
and you know,
what
the
that
thing
is.
About Barb, the thing about Barb, she at least she didn't own a computer.
Right.
She did all of her... videos direct from her ancient cell phone that I'm surprised even records video, right?
Yeah.
It's not like she could produce something like that. Or Matt, spending 5 days alone on a mountain with him, you know what he's capable of just in his spirit.
Yeah.
And then what he's not capable of up here.
Yeah. Even technically, I think that, like, I spend a lot of time with After Effects and other software for post-production purposes
mm-hmm.
and I know that what most computers are capable of and mm-hmm. I saw that and I was like, oh, somebody is really smart on this. But at the same time, we were trying to reach out to Barb to see if we could use her video because it is so compelling in that mm-hmm. way mm-hmm. where I don't know what's going on behind her. And if you tell me that she doesn't really have that technical prowess, then that makes it all that more compelling for
now,
me.
Now, she could have us all bamboozled, you know, but I just, of what I know of her, I just
right.
don't think it's not in her character to try to hoax someone.
Yeah.
Sure. As a scientist, again, I look for, like, you're talking about a blood and bone Sasquatch, so... night vision, trail cams.
For me as well, like thinking about this, trying to ground this investigation in science, looking for a flesh and blood creature that hasn't been discovered, I would say that anything is kind of open. Any tactic that you can come up with that will result in a positive is is open. I wouldn't really rule anything out. I know that there are a lot of people who say that you've got to do these things and not those things and right. whatever, but I wouldn't necessarily close any doors until we've found something, found a specimen. I mean, that's what Meldrum talks about all the time, is that they're the only thing that will really bring all of these things into light to prove that the footprints that they've found are real, to prove that the hairs that they think are Sasquatch are real, is to get the full specimen to compare it to. I'm not advocating for anybody to kill one of these things, but
right.
Oh,
but
forbid.
What about the reports of the DNA, the alleged DNA, and every time the DNA results come back, it's mitochondrial. The DNA is, you know, a human female, and what's the other side of the DNA? The father side? I forgot what it's called. Anyway, the father side is always unknown primate or unknown hominid.
Oh, sure.
I'm really fuzzy on DNA, but mm-hmm. I know that you don't have to have a hair follicle to get mitochondrial DNA. Mm-hmm. You can even get fossilized DNA mm-hmm. that can be mitochondrial, and that is passed through the mother side. But even that, they use that in criminal cases to identify people like in families.
Right.
So they can identify a criminal like a person based on mitochondrial DNA. Now that's a little fuzzy because I don't quote me on that, but mm-hmm. but I know that the lab, the particular lab that actually did the study of the Yeti DNA mm-hmm. that was possible Yeti DNA that they ended up finding a bear.
Right.
Honestly, that was the other thing, is that bear was extinct, and that bear did not exist in the Himalayas.
Interesting.
Anymore. So they were able to identify an extinct species through mitochondrial DNA, which I thought, you know, that's good enough. I mean, science is actually pushing forward, finding things that are like strange and mysterious. Even if it's not saying this is a Yeti, it's saying that this is a bear in the Himalayas that hasn't existed for hundreds of years.
Right.
I don't know what to say about I haven't seen that. I don't know. Okay. That thing where we're talking about undiscovered primates.
Right.
Well, there could have been some crossbreeding. We know that man crossbreeded with other...
like Cro-Magnon man.
Right, right. It makes sense that at one time, and this would carry off in their bloodstream for the rest of their life, that there would be some crossbreeding with them as well, with humans.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean,
yeah,
you're talking about a flesh and blood man and a woman and children. They just didn't fit the norm and were probably had rocks thrown at them. And they learned how to hide, how to stay away from us. Mm-hmm. But I think there's an interest there for them to reach out. I just think so.
Yeah.
Well, with the stories that you've told about, they're curious. Curiosity is definitely an intelligence.
Mm. I felt like we were being used as a teaching mechanism. If everything's on the up and up, I'm 99.9% sure. It just felt like they were using us to teach that youngster how to maneuver around us, how to be quiet and still observe us. It's just you get a vibe, right?
Any kind of interaction with a species that we have still yet to have prominent truth, and it just makes sense that there would be a learning process for their young. And if there aren't that many, then, you know, it's even more important to be around us because we're infringing on what little space they have left.
Yeah, that's generally the stories that you hear from loggers or people who mm-hmm. are going in and doing like fishing and stuff like that into their territories. It's like a regular thing. You get sticks and rocks thrown at you, and that's a primate trait that's well known.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And even humans as primates, we're all I think we have curiosity built into our DNA. I think that's just the way all of us are constantly searching for some sort of meaning in everything.
How did you get involved in TV?
Oh, well,
TV production. I hate to.
Do you want to
throw a curveball?
Well, it took a sec, but I went to film school.
Yeah,
and then I moved to LA, and then. You just kind of put one foot in front of the other, and you end up wherever you end up. It was strange. There were some friends of mine that actually worked on Finding Bigfoot, and that's how I got hired there. Mm-hmm. Coming from the Pacific Northwest, I've always said this: Bigfoot is kind of in my DNA. My parents know people who've seen them. Mm-hmm. My dad said that he saw something that he can't explain, but I'm never going to get into that. I'm not going to ever rule it out, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I actually did time on that show that I started to understand what was going on in the woods and see like a lot of weird things.
Can you talk about any of the weird things that you saw during?
Most of the stuff that you see is, I would say, a lot of the times I would think that it was humans. Mm-hmm. People were messing with us. Somebody was building something before we got there or whatever it was. Now, I was never able to say if it was true or not that somebody was messing with us, planting little footprints or building little stick structures and making sounds out in the woods. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say for sure, but there was stuff that I'm certain it wasn't an animal. I'm certain it wasn't a coyote or a mountain lion.
It was either a human or a Sasquatch.
Right. Pretty much. A lot of the times that's really what you come up against because it sounds so human-like. It sounds beyond most animals. But then what really started to whittle away at my skepticism was when I would meet somebody who would have a story and they wouldn't be on camera. They didn't want to be on our show. They didn't want to get any sort of fame. They weren't looking for some sort of anything. It would be like a guy in law enforcement or a guy who just, and for me, that's really what sells the idea for me is like somebody who wasn't out there looking for Bigfoot, doesn't want anybody to know that they saw something because it kind of hurts their credibility. Mm-hmm. But for me, that makes, they seem much more credible telling me that story than anybody. I got dozens of guys like that mm-hmm. that told me those stories, and I have to believe that. Let's just say, you know, when I was in Idaho and I was talking to a Nez Perce sheriff, and he just tells me, like, I got one who follows me everywhere I go. That guy, I don't know why I would not believe that guy. I mean, he's he's just telling me that they exist, and he's fairly confident that he's friends with one.
Right.
So
there's that curiosity again. Like I said, that's a sign of intelligence. And just as humans are becoming more intelligent, our animals are becoming much more intelligent. Mm. They're doing things that no one has ever seen them do before.
Yeah.
Like saving other species of animals.
Yeah.
So I have no reason to doubt that Sasquatch exists and wants to stay away from us, but yet is curious enough to get close.
Yeah, again, that's like that thing. It's like if they were evolving alongside of us like another hominid species, then they would have known all of our behaviors, most of our behaviors, and we've evolved a lot over the last few hundred years. So
we have, but that's a UFO story, and we probably won't get into that right now.
Hey, have you ever heard reports of Sasquatch either entering or exiting a UFO?
We've talked about, and I've seen footage where they disappear, and there's plenty of people who see orbs after they disappear. Mm-hmm. There are people who have told me stories about portals opening up and things mm-hmm. like that. And so that's something that I can't explain, and I don't think even most physicists can't even explain that stuff.
A theoretical physicist would probably, and I've read some of these reports, that although a portal is possible, the energy that it would produce would ruin, like, land. With that kind of energy, you would see something from it.
Right.
So I almost have to lean towards a dimensional thing.
Right. Right. And I've in fact, one of the people who I talked to, I honestly can't remember their name right now, but they've just said that there is like a thinning of the veil in certain spaces that we would consider hot spots for Bigfoot. They consider it a hot spot for just all sorts of paranormal activity. And they'll just say that there's a thinning of the veil between our world and whatever is on the other side. And I don't go down that road, but I'm not going to close the door on that because I have no proof of anything. Really.
Well, having an open mind and searching for Sasquatch is probably a really good idea. I mean, a lot of people have been looking for this animal or humanoid.
Yeah.
As far as the veil, it's basically coming up. October is a prime time for the veil to thin. So you're really kind of going into this with everything in your favor. Mm. If you do see and do have any communication with a Sasquatch, and this is going on with the thinning of the veil, you'll probably have a lot of success.
Well, yeah, I hope to. I mean, these woods around here in the Olympic Peninsula are strange. Things happen. And yeah, as the weather gets dreary and the darkness comes, yeah, I think that something's going to happen out there. I don't know what, but yeah, I hope so.
I'm trying to find that. Matt had sent me a picture of that portal.
Oh, really?
In his area when that weekend, and he I'm trying to find it for you.
Oh, okay.
So you could see it. It's really strange.
Wow.
And again, it's one of those things. He doesn't have Photoshop or After Effects, mm-hmm. and this is just a picture, so it would be like Illustrator or Photoshop. But I mean, he couldn't do something like this.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Okay. And that's just it. And I've seen pictures from like Skinwalker Ranch where portals are happening, and it's like those kinds of places are just so strange. And I'm like, unless I saw things for myself or we had like hard evidence, I'm never going to be able to say no to that. I'm never going to tell people that they don't. I mean, I produce a television show. Let's just face it. If I started slamming the door on people,
right.
Like, how far am I going to get? You know, like, and keeping an open mind, you know, I was always taught to respect other people's beliefs, basically. And to tell somebody that I don't believe them, that they saw what they saw, then, I mean, that's kind of disrespecting just who they are. So I would
and
never do something like that.
And it limits what you're going to find.
Yeah. Beyond being a producer, like, constantly searching for the truth of the matter, as a general curiosity, I guess that's what I do. I'm never going to discount something unless I've got like some solid proof or something like that. I am pretty skeptical on a general basis, but that's
right.
Just an operational tactic, I guess.
Let's talk more about your TV show coming up.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and we have TV show producer Josh Johnson in the studio with us, and you are currently producing a Bigfoot TV show.
Yeah, we're in the Olympic Peninsula. We're going to be here for quite some time, just looking around, trying to find the best hot spots. The entire peninsula is our playground, I think, as long as we stay off of government lands. Mm-hmm. But those could be the real hot spots, I guess. I'm not too sure.
So are you looking for local residents that spot a Sasquatch to maybe get a hold of you somehow, like an email? And that way you might be able to set up a camera and go check something out? Or
Yeah, absolutely. Before I came here, we reached out to quite a few people. That's not to say we don't welcome more witnesses and other people who've had strange encounters and things like that in the woods around here. I would absolutely welcome any, especially Bigfoot witnesses. The thing is that that's really what we have to go on. Most of the time when you're looking for Bigfoot in the forest, you're going on eyewitness testimony that points you in the right direction. We really count on those kinds of people who have seen one or had something thrown at them or heard strange sounds in the woods or all of those things that we attribute to Sasquatch activity, really.
Well, I'm interested if you use other kinds of folks, like maybe a sensitive to be, or some type of individual that has the ability to find those who may be lost.
Well, I wouldn't discredit it. I mean, there are some accounts. In fact, just recently last year, I think there was a little boy who was lost in the woods in, I want to say North Carolina. And
right.
said he had a bear friend who was taking care of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was gone for about 3 days, and it was freezing cold out there. And when they found him, he was fine.
Yes, I remember that one.
And then there was other ones that had happened in Kentucky as well. And I think that there were mediums who were saying that it was Sasquatch related. And now I'm just going to say this. I would never rule anything out.
Right.
I'm just gonna, like, I just don't. I don't rule anything out, because if I do, then I'm like, why would I? Like, I'm going to hit so many dead ends in this world that I wouldn't have a TV show. Just saying that, I mean, really, like, if Bigfoots are able to communicate on a telekinetic level, which some people believe they do.
Yes.
Doing mind speak, mm-hmm. as they call it,
mm-hmm.
then I don't see any reason why a sensitive wouldn't actually be able to pick up on that already. And that seems like a very, like, definitely a good road to go down, if not just for curiosity's sake, at least. But yeah, I would absolutely encourage any a spiritual medium, if they want to reach out to us, anybody who has encountered Bigfoots.
Like a psychic or someone that feels them.
Yeah, that's something that I wouldn't have thought of, but I would absolutely entertain that.
Let's say I have an experience. I saw one. I was face to face or something. How do I contact you?
Well, yeah. So the best thing to do is hit me up with an email. And if you want to tell me your story on the email, that's fine. If you're shy, we can talk in person. We can talk over the phone. First thing I'll tell everyone right now is that we're always going to believe you. We're not going to try to make fun of you or discredit you in any way. Our show tries to take a very serious approach on this. We want people who are credible, like witnesses. Somebody who didn't plan on seeing Bigfoot is always one of the best things I can say. It's like, if you had this experience and you didn't plan on it, you something surprised you or whatever, that's I would love to talk to you about it. Okay. And I understand, like, people are, like, in the logging industry and people are in law enforcement and ex-military and things like that, and it can, like, damage your reputation, mm-hmm. to come and talk to us. But that's why we're here. We want to be able to tell these stories that that people might not be able to
tell.
So
you'd be able to keep their privacy and allow
them. We would
them
absolutely do that. Yeah.
That's great.
Please feel free to email me. My email is joshjohnson@railsplitter.tv. And that's joshjohnson at railsplitter.tv. R-A-I-L-S-P-L-I-T-T-E-R. UFOsAliensSasquatch.tv.
Can we put that on our website?
Yeah, you can put that on your website, and hopefully anybody who feels like reaching out to me wants to tell their story, especially if you're interested in being on the show, because we are currently looking for the best hotspots in the Olympic Peninsula.
I think Pete knows a hotspot, don't you?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I wasn't expecting it, not even thinking about it, just was going out for a camp and up on the Wyanuchi Lake.
Yeah.
That was on the northeast side of the lake, pretty much at the end of the lake, more along the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had set up camp and had a nice fire going, and we decided to take a hike down to the river. You know, and in order to do that, we had to go up onto the main road and walk, you know, half a mile is all, and then go down into a trail that we knew, because we were there scouting around earlier in the day. So we knew how to get down to the river. There was a trail, and we went on down to the river, and it was a full moon, by the way. So we were down along the river, and we just kind of chilling and sat on the rocks, when all of a sudden we heard big rocks landing in the water. And at first, I thought maybe it was a herd of elk or something along the bank, knocking rocks into the river.
Right. Yeah.
But no, they were single rocks, and there were big boulders. We could hear them hit the bottom of the river, even smacking against the rocks.
Mm.
And, you know, it was just one after another. And it wasn't a group falling of rocks or anything, but you could tell there was a pause between rocks, and they were huge rocks, just making huge.
Like the size of a basketball, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Because you could tell just from the sound of the splashing of the water and the smacking of the rock hitting the bottom of the river.
Mm.
You know, it was so obvious that these were huge rocks.
And with the moonlight, how much could you see?
We looked across up and down the river, but couldn't see anything. We couldn't tell where it was coming from. It didn't sound like it was coming from very far away at all. You know, it seemed like it was just across the river.
Yeah.
But we could not see a thing.
Maybe with the echo of the canyon, it's hard to localize whatever the sound
and
is.
And that could be very true, you know. The echo could have had a lot to play with that. And
what did you feel in that moment?
Well, I didn't know what to think. I didn't think of Sasquatch, but it was really scary.
Did you believe in Sasquatch before this at all?
Well, I wasn't a disbeliever, but I wasn't a full believer. I don't recall thinking of Sasquatch at that time, you know, but it was a very eerie feeling. It just made everybody uncomfortable. So we all got up and hit the trail to get out of there. And we were actually running down the trail when I seen something go by me and hit the guy in the back of his arm in front of me. And he yelled at the time and looked back at me and said, "What'd you do that for?" I said, "I didn't do that." And when we got up onto the road, he asked me again, "What did you hit me with?" I says, "You know, when we were running, I saw something go right by me and hit you in the back of the arm." I couldn't tell what it was because we were running and it was moving fast through the air. And
so your adrenaline was rushed.
Oh, yeah.
And you felt that whatever those rocks were doing, they were making you frightened.
Oh, yes. We were definitely frightened a little bit.
Did you feel like the rocks being were a threat?
No. You know, I just thought at the time that somebody or something was actually trying to make us fearful and let us know that somebody or something else was there. And gee, we just felt so uncomfortable and fearful, I guess. We took off. And the thing was, we got up on the road, and, you know, it was so clear, that moon was so big, we, you know, could see really well. But the thing was that I started smelling something. We're walking down the road, and something was in the brush just off the road, 10 feet or so into the brush, to where we couldn't see what it was, but something was moving. We could hear them, and we could smell them.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a smell that I'll never forget. It was a dirty, musty, pretty gross kind of a smell. It was a wild, dirty smell.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
It was moving along parallel with us along the road.
Wow.
And it was making enough noise.
Just going to follow you right out.
To let us know they were there. I mean, they weren't trying to be quiet. And it was scarier than hell, actually.
Like you wandered right up into somebody's camp almost.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and we've all done that. And like going up river and stuff like that, you come right up onto somebody's camp and you know,
right,
I got to get out of there. Is that, do you feel like maybe you just walked right into somebody else's territory?
Well, it was about this time when I realized this could be a Sasquatch.
With the smell and
the smell and everything,
yeah.
But I had not known about them throwing rocks. But since then, I heard stories from Indians, tribal members that are local here, saying that they had had similar experiences and heard stories from the elders that they threw big rocks. So I knew at that time that's what it was.
Were any of you carrying any kind of protection?
Maybe a knife, you know.
Okay. So there was nothing visible for this, whatever it was.
No, nothing visible. So we weren't a threat to anybody, you know.
How many up there were you?
Well, there was five of us.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah, there were five of us, five guys. Just out to have a good time. And
you all felt the same at the same time.
Yeah, we went down to a bridge after we walked down the road. We walked past our camp and then came upon a bridge, and that's where we stopped and just kind of went over everything that we just experienced. And we all felt the same way. It had to be a Sasquatch.
This is just my theory, but I don't think there was just one there.
I was thinking about
that. At least two.
Yeah. That's what I thought, too, because just the way the rocks were going one after another. There was two, I think, because there was a kaploosh, and then a pause, another kaploosh.
Okay.
And you're still kind of fuzzy on, like, where the location was, but it did seem like it was on the other side of the river, right?
Yeah, that's what we thought, you know. Yeah. But it could have been on the same side, especially after something thrown and went by and hit the guy in front of me in the arm.
That's interesting.
So, it, you know, because we were on that trail pretty quick after these rocks hit the water.
Did he get a bruise from that hit?
I don't know if he did.
It was more like a brush, just keep on going?
Yeah, it was something that went by me pretty fast. You know, it was thrown real hard. I think it was a stick, actually.
Okay.
I see. So it wasn't a hand. It was just some type of...
Somebody threw a stick, or the Sasquatch threw a stick.
Now, Josh, Pete didn't necessarily see any Sasquatch, but could you use experiences like this for the TV show?
Oh, absolutely. I think the thing is that having multiple people be there and these kinds of behaviors that we are finding exemplify Bigfoot behaviors, we'd want to go to that area. We'd want to hear about this story and it's just more evidence that these things exist. I think absolutely, yeah. I think it's really rare for someone to see one.
Right, yes.
So that's the thing, is that, like, we know that something exists in those woods. A bear's not going to throw rocks and sticks at you. So that's, it absolutely seems like something we would want to use for the show and come out and find out where your experience happened.
Well, I'd be glad to show you where it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that these rivers all throughout the Olympics are they're throughways for a lot of animals and clearly a good habitat for Bigfoot.
Thanks for sharing your experience.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. You know, it's something that I wish I could get answers to and closure. It still kind of freaks me out thinking about it.
But you did the right thing.
Yeah.
You removed yourself from the situation, and you weren't harmed.
Yeah. I think that's what they wanted me to do, is get out of their little area they had.
For sure.
It was their spot.
Yeah.
Go back to camp.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you contacting any of the local Bigfoot groups?
We tend to, I do know that I want to talk to the Olympic Project and the work that they're doing seems to me to be the most recent and the most scientific work. They're compiling tons of information, and some of the discoveries that they've made are really, really compelling.
Have you heard about the nests?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, and not too long ago, just this spring, I believe, there was like a new site where they found another nest. And in fact, Cliff Berrickman went up and cast a handprint up there. And I was really interested in seeing more about that and talk to them about that. And I also know that aside from the nests and things like that, there's an audio expert who's just compiled so much audio on on all of the stuff that they've been collecting from all over, not just in the peninsula, but all over. So they are just a wealth of knowledge. So yeah, absolutely want to check out some of the groups.
Oftentimes when we're out there in the woods, nothing happens. Now, if you were to roll tape for 24 hours, 7 days a week of Bigfoot research, oftentimes stuff doesn't happen. Do you find that a challenge producing a TV show to zero in on the exciting stuff and filter out? Is that a challenge?
Well, I mean, I'm a patient guy.
Yeah.
You know, I have kids and I know what it means to just sit and be patient.
Right. Right.
Editing is a really big help. And honestly, like if you're a fan of these kinds of shows, you'll know that that's basically what happens. It's like people go out night after night after night. And then the one night when they catch something strange happening, then that's the only night that really gets shown on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll echo that for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're out in the woods. It's basically camping or hunting, really. Like anybody who does that for a recreation will tell you that you're out there fishing. You might catch a fish once in that whole day, and you spend 8 hours on the water. So you got to enjoy being on the water.
You heard reports of Sasquatch stealing fish?
Oh yeah. Oh, that's an old school thing, I think. That comes from a lot of the tribes around here, in fact. Yeah.
Right.
And stealing fish, stealing carcasses.
Right.
Hunters who've shot deer and then like for one reason or another, they didn't gut it and clean it and put it on their truck right away, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, an animal and man would do the same thing.
Right.
Right? If you're hungry, you're going to take that carcass and just drag it away.
Yeah.
So that kind of behavior is understandable for Sasquatch.
Right.
That might be a good way to pull them out. You know, get a bunch of fish and just lay it out on the trail, get a trail camera and say, you know.
Yeah, baiting is, I mean, it's a real thing. That's a regular thing. I think we'd definitely be doing that.
You want to do it well, though. You don't want to like hang it from a piece of wire. You want to like have a basket with fish kind of coming out of it, and a fishing rod and your hat, so they come upon it and they're not afraid of it, right?
Well, we've said it before. I think that they're highly intelligent beings, and I don't think that
you're not gonna fool them.
You want to make sure that it seems very likely that they would come across your fish just sitting out there. Some people have said I think you mentioned peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and some people have said in the past that they don't like wheat bread or whatever it is. They're highly particular.
Yeah.
So I would never want to just leave some old dead fish out. We'd have to dress them up slightly.
You're going to be in the area for quite some time looking for different spots. You want people's experiences, their stories, their sightings. You want to hear from people maybe of hot spots.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. And I know that there are several different types of sightings. I mean, I've done this for a long time, so if somebody's, if they feel like their sighting isn't really worth it, you never know. Please, absolutely reach out.
Because
anybody who's had like a weird little road sighting, that might be just another person on the same road that we know has had activity month after month. And it would just be, it's more evidence that we should go and investigate that same spot. If somebody is saying that they hear howls on a nightly basis, but they don't know what they are, they think they're coyotes, but they don't sound like coyotes. Mm-hmm. I want to hear that, you know?
It's, maybe even record it.
Yeah, any recordings, anything you've got you want to share, absolutely. Go to the email address, send it to me. Somebody will reach out to you, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't be shy, because we're not going to make fun of you or anything like that. That's not what we do.
So you're going to take some time to put all of this together for TV. When do you suppose that it would show on a station?
Well, we have a lot of different episodes and things like that in the works, and we've been, even with COVID, we've been trying to produce the show for a while. So the beginnings of these shows will start showing up hopefully in December, January, sometime in there, just in time for everybody to hang out with the family and sit and watch a Bigfoot show.
Right.
That sounds great.
It's fun.
Yeah. Being new to Washington, I'm trying to absorb and get as much Bigfoot experience as I can.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to your show.
Yeah. Yeah, this place is it. I mean, this is the Mecca, I think.
Ground Zero.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to go camping again and get another experience, definitely.
You get addicted to it.
I would love to have another chance at that.
Bring a video camera.
Would you do something different this time? If it happened over again or if it happened again, would you?
Well, hopefully I wouldn't get so scared and be able to hang in there to see if
it's totally easy
something
to
else would happen, yeah.
Yeah. I can see, you know, you said something that really struck me, and I've heard it plenty of times, is that you're looking for closure to this thing. And I think that that's what a lot of people want to find. A lot of witnesses, a lot of people who've had experiences want some sort of closure. Mm. That's not specific to Bigfoot. I think it happens with ghosts and UFOs as well.
Definitely.
People want to know the truth behind it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, like, basically, if you come and talk to us, you're going to talk to people who believe. You're going to talk to people who have seen things and heard things that are very similar to you. So hopefully that will give you a little bit of closure to know that other people have had the same experiences. I don't know that that we can tell you that Bigfoot exists, but we could tell you we've had those things happen.
And it's going to be a fun show, right?
I think we're going to have fun, yeah.
Right.
It should be a little scary, too. I think we're getting in the woods in the dark. Being scared is fun.
The armchair researchers, they'll say, like in Pete's instance, in his experience, oh, well, if I were you, I would have went and done this. When it happens to you, it's a whole different ballgame. Am I wrong?
That is so true. You know, you always think you're going to be brave and stick it out and do something about it. But no, when that finally happens and it's reality,
right?
It's a whole new ball game.
Josh, thanks for spending time with us today.
Yeah, my pleasure. This is really fun. Yeah.
Well, we might have to have him back so he can tell us what he found.
If he'll come back.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, yeah, if I can come back.
Of course.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to me out in the woods.
Right.
Never.
Especially here in the Olympics.
Yeah, you might find a female Sasquatch. It takes a liking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to tell my wife.
Pete, thanks for sharing your experience.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you would like more info on Josh's TV show, how to contact him, if you want to just yell at us and call us a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing whack jobs, just log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor.